Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, will you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. All right. Heavenly gracious Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
So much. For your word and for this time to come together to study your word and what it means to have a biblical marriage, not a cultural marriage, but a biblical marriage. Father, over this last year, you have taught us so much.
So much, Father.
Showed us so many truths and pointed out things that are cultural, things that are not biblical, and that helped given us a better understanding of your ways and how you are true and the promise keeper through all the centuries, the millennia, through all time. You are there guiding us, directing us, and leading us. Father, we just lift you up this night as we're getting ready to read your word. Guide our hearts and our minds. For as your word teaches us, where two or more are gathered, you are in our midst. Lord, we know you are here ministering to us as we continue to study about Moses. Thank you so much for this teaching. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Rob. For those who are with us live today, we would like you to use the chat to ask questions if you are on the computer. Please keep everything quiet around you, like radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. And for those who are with us by phone, I would like you to take down this number so that whenever you have a question to ask while the teaching is on, you can call this number and leave the question right there. You can call several times. We will get back to you. The number is 561-406-9853. Please make sure to leave several messages. We are going to get back to you. However, at the end of this teaching, we are going to unmute everyone so that you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make a comment. Be great. So take your notes. Make sure to have everything lined up so that at the end of this teaching, you will come up with whatever you want to do by asking questions or just making comment. Thank you. All right. Let me just read our text for tonight. It is from Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 to 12 to 14, something like that. Okay. Yeah, to 14. Right. Okay. Now, I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the anger of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals for the ground. Take off your sandals for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Verse 8, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Verse 12, God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to them. Great, 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 great text. All right. It's a little bit long, but it was it. We need to dig into what's going on right here. Now, what we want to do tonight is just give you a little summary of what we studied last week in part two. And if you are with us live tonight, and or you are coming by way of replay and have not listened to part two, please go back to part one and two. They are online. It's free. Listen to those parts, and they will give you the understanding of where we are right now. Yeah. We discussed in part two last Sunday that Moses married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, the priest of Midian, and the union was blessed with two sons. That was what we studied last week. Moses was blessed, and God blessed them with two children. The marriage initiated by Jethro, we discussed, between Moses and Zipporah was intended for Moses to stay within the household of Jethro. This act of Jethro of giving his daughter to Moses in marriage was cultural, and that was an indication in most culture. If you have a very strong man and you want a man to stay within your household, all that you do, yeah, give him a wife. So just offer your daughter to that man to marry, and then that man will be happy to stay. And exactly, Moses was there for stay in that home for 40 years. Now, okay, we also studied that there are three names ascribed to the priest of Midian, Jethro. And Hobba was the name of Jethro's son, and not one of the names. Many people confuse this and say, okay, well, then we see the confusion also in the text as well. But when you look at it very carefully, you will know exactly that Hobba was the son of Jethro, and that name does not refer to Jethro himself. So we had those names studied last week. Go back to that video. Right. Jethro was not a priest. He was not a priest of the God of Israel. It can be rightly argued that he was converted to the God of Israel because of the sacrifices he made to him. We can argue that. All right. The Midianites were descendants of Midian, the eldest of the six sons of Keturah, the concubine of Abraham. These are the major area of study we did last week. This week now, we are going to look at two major points. Point number one is that under the wedding of Moses and Zipporah, we look at his call to ministry. His call to ministry, the call and mission of Moses. That would be one key discussion. And the second one is the response of Moses and God's assurance to be with him. These are the two major points that we are going to discuss today. So just bear with us. We get in there. We will soon get there. Now, let's look at this specific objective that we be looking at. Just a few things. In this teaching, participants will be able to understand and believe that God used Moses in spite of his objections to God's will. God promised to be with Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the land of Egypt to the promised land. Now, the third point that we're going to look at there too is God provides helpers to the one he calls and sends. That is the truth. Whenever the Lord calls you, he will provide the helpers that will help you with the ministry. Now, Rob, you said you want to say something about this, the objective here that we just lined up.
Yeah, just a little thought to help our listeners realize that there's quite a bit of time that has passed from when Moses left Egypt. We said last week that he was around 40 years of age when he left. Mm-hmm. And we see here Moses is tending to the sheep of his father-in-law. Mm-hmm. Now, from the point he came and married Zipporah, there's many, many years have passed.
Yes.
And we have to remember, he's lost his position of royalty. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up as a prince, grew up, received an Egyptian education. Mm-hmm. And now we see these are not even his own sheep.
Right.
So he likely has very limited possessions.
Uh-huh.
And this has humbled him before God.
Uh-huh.
And what we must remember is God knows the heart of a believer.
Right.
He knew that Moses cared about his people and the injustice that they faced.
Mm-hmm.
And God heard their cries. And remember, last week we discussed the event where Moses murdered an Egyptian.
Uh-huh.
It was the right cause, but the wrong approach.
The right cause, but the wrong approach. You got it.
And when we take matters of justice into our own hands, what happens? Well, we're going to pay the consequence.
That's
right. This is the role of God, not us.
Yeah. You're right.
So, yeah, we have to give it back to him.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Okay. Now.
Yes.
All right. Rob is gone. He was on the phone, but I think I lost him. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, you were there. Okay. All right. Yes, go ahead.
So we just have to remember, we have to give it back to God. And we just need to remember here as well what's happened in Moses' life mm-hmm. and how he's gotten to this position.
Mm-hmm.
So he now is of humble means.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just something to reflect on as we start to look at how God calls him. That's the next part.
That's the next part. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. All right. Now, the call, point number one that we will study now is the call and mission of Moses. And Rob said it, how God Almighty called him. Now, Moses was in Midian, in the house of Jethro, for many years, working and taking care of his flocks and doing whatever work to bless the family. But there came a time God called him. Now, when you look at the text that I just read, Moses was working, and God spoke to him. He was on the field. He saw the bush burning, but it was not consumed. So he got a little bit concerned and drew closer to see what was happening. How can a bush burn? I mean, bush on fire without being consumed. But when he got a little bit closer, then he heard the voice of God within the burning bush. And God said to him, Moses, I am God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've heard the cry of my people Israel in the land of Egypt. But I have come to set them free, to take them from where they are toward the promised land. But I want to use you. Wow. It was kind of scary. All right. Seeing the bush burning, it was not consumed. And yet hearing a voice, and this voice is saying, claiming to be the voice of God. And God is saying, look, I want you to go, and I want to use you to go and set my people free. They are suffering, and I have come to set them free from their oppressor. But in verse 4:9, there's something he said. He said, take off your shoes, for the ground upon which you stand is holy ground. And Moses was concerned. Rob, do you have any comment here? Because I know this is an area that, you know, we all.
Yeah, it's interesting. So here God attracts Moses' attention. He's out in the desert. Deserts are hot, dry places. But to see a bush that's burning but not consumed, that's very unusual.
It's unusual.
And so Moses goes over to inquire about this. And, you know, as we read this and we read more about it as we go through the scripture, because there are other references that refer back to this, right, we learn that this is God himself visiting,
right,
and speaking and calling to Moses.
Hmm.
And they have a dialogue. And it's, we need to pay close attention to Moses, what Moses says, and the response that God gives to him.
Right.
There's quite a bit that's going to transpire here, and it's very interesting.
Right.
Set of details.
Yes. Now, the Lord said, the ground upon which you stand, the ground is holy, but I want you to go and set my people free because they are suffering, and I have heard their cry, and I want to get them out of Egypt. And most importantly, the Lord said, now you are the one that I want you to go and do it. Wow. See that? I want you to go. I don't know what God said, Moses, I want you to go. Now, what is going on here? It was great when Moses heard this. He was afraid. But God said to him, you are the one to go. But what we find here is that Moses objected to the call of God. Moses objected to the call of God. And that is the key point. Now, in the first objection, which you can read from Exodus 3:11 to 12, Moses said to God that he was not important. I'm not an important person. How can I appear before Pharaoh? The great Pharaoh of Egypt. How can I appear before him? I'm not an important person. What did God say to him? The Lord tells Moses that he will be with him and will bring him back to that same mountain where this mystery is being done, being held. I will be with you. I am God. I am sending you, and I will be with you. Huh. Did Moses agree right away to go when he heard that? No. No, Moses, when you read further, he said in the second objection, Moses, he complained that he had no divine authority. And the people were not, his own people would not believe him. How would the people believe him when he ran away from Egypt and going back there to tell them that, oh, I'm here to set you free? He said, it's going to be difficult because my own people, I got no authority. My own people will not even believe me. Well, Moses make a major point. But then God also answered. He said, when you go to them, Moses, tell them that the I am is your authority. That means I am your authority. I am God. I love that part. Hey, Rob, what do you think about this? I really love that part when he said, I am your authority.
Yeah, so now here, God's revealing another attribute, another thing about himself.
Right.
Now, this is a new name that we're seeing for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important as well to notice that how God responds to Moses. Moses objects five times, not once, but five times.
Five times, yeah.
And I was thinking about this as I was reading back through it, and I realized, you know, there's importance in that as well. So not only how God responds to him, but if we remember from several studies back, we talked a little bit about some of the numerology in Scripture.
Mm.
And five is the number of power and divine grace.
Uh-huh.
And so here, you know, we do see after the fifth objection, we see a sterner response from God.
Right.
But yet, God knows Moses. He knows his heart. He knows what he's capable of, and he still sends him. So it's interesting. So here we see God's grace through all this as well. You know, he objects five times, but God says, no, this is what needs to happen. And I know you care about these people, so we need, you know, you're going to go and do this thing.
Yeah. I mean, Rob, God is so good. And as we have always said throughout our teaching here from the Garden of Eden to where we are today, we say God is the promise keeper. So because he wants to keep his promise, he can use anyone. When he knows that you are the one that he wants to use, whether you object or whether you refuse or not, God will do what he wants to accomplish. Five times Moses said no. So I will give you, then God said, okay, now Moses, I will give you three signs. All right. He said, what is in your hand? Moses said, well, I got a rod that I use to shepherd the sheep. He said, throw it on the ground. And when he threw it on the ground, it turned to what? Serpent. And he was afraid. And God spoke to him again, go and pick it up by the tail. And he bravely went and picked it up, and it turned to the same, to the staff again. I know Moses was developing something. I said, wow. And then God said, okay, put your hand under your arm. And he did that. When he took it out, it turned white, leprous. And God said, okay, put it back. Take it out. When he did that, his hand was perfect. He said, when these signs, when you go and tell your people and you work this miracle, they are going to believe you. If they don't believe you, take water from the Nile and pull it on the ground, and it will become blood. So Moses, I want you to go and set the people free. I can't understand this. Hey, Rob, I mean, I can't understand it. Will you help me here?
So these are physical things that are happening.
Uh-huh.
Signs that to persuade Moses that yes, you can be of influence. You know, these are events, signs of God's power, and that He is with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what's interesting is that the staff becomes a serpent. You know, so you think back to the verses about in Scripture about the serpent, and of course, the first one I think about is back in the garden,
right?
When man fell. So it's interesting that okay, now we have a serpent, and then his hand becomes leprous.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a serpent referring to the fall. We have a hand that becomes diseased, but then is healed, and then we have the water turning to blood. So this seems to be conveying a lot more than what we're just seeing here as just physical signs, but talking about our fallen nature, how we've how the people have moved away, as well as God's role in restoring them, just uh-huh. like He restored His hand, it converts this serpent back into a rod. And uses Moses as his instrument to deliver this message.
Even though he said, no, he cannot do it because he's just not capable of doing that. But God said, you are the one. You are the one.
And that, you know, so we think about it. His first objection is, I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy, yeah.
Points to him. The second one is who's sending me? Who shall I say sent me? Yeah, so now he's looking at, well, no, I can't go by my own. Well, I need...
Somebody got to send
that. Yeah, so I'm going on behalf of somebody. There needs to be more there. Then it's like, oh, they're not going to believe me. So now he's like, nope. Here's a sampling of what's going to happen. Now we know much more happens than this, but this is a prelude to what's going to happen when he goes back to Egypt.
Right. Thank you. Good. Great. Okay. The third objection and God's answer. Moses insists that the people will not believe him. They're not going to do that. The Lord turned Moses' staff into a snake, and then here and there, we have talked about that already. Now, in the fourth objection, Moses complained that he was not a good speaker. Can you imagine? God have said that Moses said, well, no. He said, I want you to send somebody else. I want you to send somebody else, not me. And then God answered. The Lord tells Moses that Aaron, his brother, will be his spokesman. Wow. God. Now, one thing I'm thinking about here, Rob, I know that this is not the subject matter that we're discussing right now, but, you know, which is a big area. I don't want us to, I just throwing it out there. We're not going to go any deeper in that because that's a major controversial area. The area of the doctrine of free will.
Right.
I don't know what's going on here with Moses particularly. The doctrine of free will. Moses had the free will to say, God, I'm not going. I'm not worthy. God, choose somebody else. And God said, you are the one that I want to use.
Well, you know, this whole time we've been studying about marriage. And so if we reflect back on that,
yeah,
where the father sends for a bride, and he approaches another family. The bridegroom's father has, or father-in-law has to accept. The bride has accept, and yeah, the groom has accept. You know, in each of those, there's free will. And so even in this, we see, you know, Moses objects, but we know that, well, Scripture tells us, God, you know, search my heart. He can read our heart, our thoughts.
Right.
He knows the innermost parts of us. So he knows what is in Moses.
Okay.
And though Moses is timid and objecting.
Right.
He could still walk away from this. Mm-hmm. He's still a gentleman the way that he's asking him to do this, and he's not completely forcing himself upon him. Because you see, the objections, if Moses was completely shut off, he would have restated the same objection over and over. He would have just shut down.
Right.
But instead, he moves to a different argument, and God says, oh, no, I am with you. And here's how you can go about it. And he gives them the solution and the direction.
Yeah. Now, but one good thing that when the law sends anyone, he will always bring the helper. And this is a key thing here. And you are listening to this teaching live or by way of replay. Whenever God Almighty sent you to do something, know that he will send the people that will do it along with you. You're not going to be alone. Because most of the saying here, hey, send somebody else. And God said, no, your brother Aaron is coming to help you out with the job. I know he's a good speaker. And we also see, too, that the glory of God, only God can do it, not man. And surely, God raised up Aaron, Moses' brother, to be his spokesman. But Moses said 5 times, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not worthy. Who will send me? Who am I going to represent? And God gave him, bam, bam, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I am the one sending you. I want to set it put free. I've heard your cry. Now, so Moses, I'm not the proper person. You see, he sent anyone. He said, your brother is right there. See, your brother, God will speak to you, Moses. You will speak to Aaron. Aaron will speak to the people. That's the relationship between Moses and Aaron, will be a God-prophet relationship. See, now go. You said you're not a speaker. Your brother will be your spokesman. And wherever you go, God will handle the whole thing. Actually, the redemption of the people of Israel from the land of Egypt, even though Moses was the one sent, but it was God who did it, not Moses. Even though we all know, yeah, Moses sent the people from Israel free, but when you look at the whole thing here, you look at the whole communication between God, when God called Moses in the initial stage to go and set the people free, Moses said, I'm not going to go. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. But God said, I'm going to be with you. So the whole thing there, we see the beauty of God being the promise keeper. He is the one that can do the job. It's not man. So God was the one who set the people free. We know that. We always take Moses. Yeah, Moses, and that is the right thing. Moses went and he stood before Pharaoh and his brother Aaron. And there was a lot of things that went on that we talked about later on. But God did. Because we see here that Moses 5 times, he told God, I'm not able to do this. God had to assure him that he would be with him. He would do it through him. So it was God Almighty that did it, not Moses. God Almighty that did the whole miracle. It was not Moses. See, he said, I'm going to send you, and Israel will be brought out of Egypt. and they are going to go to Canaan, the promised land. That's the assurance. He said, I'm going to do that, Moses. You don't have to worry about it. Israel's leaders will believe you, Moses. They will believe you. When you appear before them and work these miracles, I'm going to test your hearts for them to believe you. But be careful. Pharaoh will oppose you, but you're going to overcome. Egypt will suffer God's judgment. These are the things that God has shown Moses. Israel will receive riches from Egypt. Now, as you know, we're going to get in that area a little on maybe next week. But when the children of Israel was leaving Egypt, man, they got a lot of stuff from the people. So when we get there, we're going to discuss that better. But these are the assurance. These are the things that God has showed Moses. God assures him that he will do the job. He will be with him. The people will believe him, even though Pharaoh will oppose him, but God will do it. And Egypt will suffer judgment. Now, and these proofs, God assured Moses through the rod turning into snake. Moses' hand becomes leprous. The Nile River waters will little become blood. All of these things are the things that God said. When these things happen, everybody going to believe you. Everybody going to know that I am the one working such a miracle. Now, tonight, what we want to share with you is the call of Moses. What we've been sharing is the call of Moses. Moses and Zipporah's wedding. This is part three. The call of Moses. Now, when God called him, next week now, we are going to study how Moses took his family and they went back to Egypt in obedience to God's will. After five times, he said, no, I can't do this. Finally, Moses became the instrument that God used for his own glory. All right. Now we'll stop here today. Before Rob gives us our concluding points today, if you are with us live and you have questions to ask, I'm going to unmute everyone, and then you please ask the question, but please make sure that your background is calm. Make sure that everything around you, because your background is calm. So. And if the background is not too good, then I'm going to mute everyone again, because we want to make sure that what we're doing here tonight, if you have questions, that you can ask the question. If you want to make a comment, that you can make that comment. And so let me unmute everyone. So please make sure control your background. Okay, everyone is unmuted. Okay. Oh, wow, that's a problem right here. Okay. All right. That's the problem right here. All right. Okay. Now we see the background not too strong. Okay. Now, would you, Rob, can you give us our conclusion as usual?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Thinking back about the third objection, mm-hmm. We see the serpent, which is when man fell. Mm-hmm. We see his hand become leprous, which that's a sickness of the flesh. Uh-huh. You know, fallen man working in the flesh. You know, Moses here, he's objecting, he's thinking in the physical and not in the spiritual. Uh-huh. And then the last one is turning the water to the blood. Mm-hmm. You know, this points to the blood on the cross, redeeming, mm-hmm. restoration, not thinking from a spiritual perspective as he should be. Mm-hmm. And God keeps pointing out, no, I am here, I am with you, I am. So, we see that. So, reflecting on all this, we must remember that God's timing is not always our own.
Right.
Moses objected to the treatment of his people, but when he tried to handle it himself, in secret and in his own timing, he used inappropriate means.
Right.
And so he had to flee. Now, many years later, God calls him to deliver his people from Egypt, but he's objecting. In fact, he objected 5 times. But God knows his heart, and he knows what we are capable of achieving, especially achieving with God working in and through us. We cannot fathom the plans that he has for us, and how much better if we would fully yield to God. Remember, as you point out, he is the promise keeper. So why do we doubt or resist? There's no reason. He's going to see it through. So we must not be timid or fearful. Let us instead draw close to God and seek his will for our lives. We should ask him to search our hearts and reveal those areas that need refining. And we must preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be burned unto fables. That is why we study, to seek the truth, to know God, and to serve him. Thank you for joining us and studying with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Great, great, great summary. Okay. Now, please, if you are watching the video on YouTube, leave us a comment. Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down, hit that button with your decision. It will help us. I just type something. If you are watching it on our website, do the same. There's a space there that you can leave a comment. And if it is on YouTube, please subscribe. Just hit that subscribe button so you don't have to go to my website, to our website, anymore. All that happened, when you hit the subscribe button, after the teaching, it will just hit right in your inbox, all right? So whenever, whatever video that we put out, it will come straight in your inbox. So just subscribe. That's one of the best things you can do, all right? And thank you for joining us today. Next, we continue our study with Moses next week. Invite somebody, and the time is always 8 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. Though by replay, thank you. Leave us a comment. We pray that the Lord will bless you from time to time. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.